Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we bow before you today as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we count it a privilege and honor to be able to sing your praises, to enjoy being enthralled with how big you really are, with how powerful you are as the King. And yet you bend down to feed us as your very own children. You're a God that is transcendent, that is totally separate, totally holy, but a God who's nearby. You promise to be with us wherever we go, never to leave us or forsake us. And although at times we've forsaken you, at times we've tried to leave you, you're right there, faithful and true, never turning, never batting an eye, oozing with your kindness and love and grace towards us. God, I ask that in Jesus' name that you touch us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would lead us to ever more diligently and powerfully surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that as we come to your holy word today, we thank you for giving us the words breathed out by you, given to us without error, given to us for authority for all things in life. And Lord, we humbly submit to the truth of your word. And God, I pray that you'd move any of my own opinions or thoughts aside and only let your word be preached today. Only let your word be heard in our hearts. And God, I ask that you bless our children. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as the kids are dismissed to junior church. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to talk about the fifth commandment, and that is respect for God's family plan. And as we've worked our way through the Ten Commandments, and by the way, next week we're going to take a break from Exodus. And some of you have asked the question, how do I pray? How do we pray? And so we're going to take a break and go back and revisit that idea of prayer and the importance of prayer in the body of Christ. And we're going to learn step by step how we can pray. Maybe you're asking that question. How do I pray out loud with my brothers and sisters? How do I pray at home? What are the words that I should use? And so we're going to talk about that next week of the first Sunday of the month. But as we work our way through Exodus today, the first commandments foundationally establishes worshiping the right God, while the second commands us to teach and teaches us the right way to worship God. The third commandment teaches us that God's name, Yahweh, is worthy of the highest honor. And the fourth commandment gives us God's created rhythm of work and rest for healthy living. These first four commandments are about loving God and being in covenant with Him. And now as we come to the fifth commandment, there's a transition here, if you will, towards how we are to love others. So if we don't first have our relationship with God first, we'll be unable to do these last six commandments. You see, the Lord begins with the fifth commandment, which is the foundation for all society, which is the family unit. God is the giver of life, in that He created the earth with an established set of authority. He's established the father and the mother as the instruments or the producers or reproducers of life, if you will. And God is teaching His people that He created the earth with an established order and structure of authority. And so we have to understand, when society chooses to veer off God's plan for family, there will be a society that crumbles into crime and chaos and violence. If there's not respect for the family unit, then there will be no order and respect in society. So as God's people, it is absolutely imperative. It's absolutely imperative. And I pray that God will raise up men and women, young men and young women to proclaim the truth of God's plan, because ultimately it leads back to having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to have our sins forgiven and knowing where we're going to go when we die, that will transform society. So as a parent, your job, and whether you have your own kids at home or you're a parent in the church and God has given us the responsibility to shepherd and disciple new people in Christ and the kids that we have in the church, your job as a parent is absolutely not to be your child's buddy while allowing them to dictate where you go and what food you give them or how many material things you give them. Your calling is to raise healthy children in the Lord. And on the flip side, a mother and father must absolutely be honored no matter what age we are, although the relationship changes with age. So, for instance, in Ephesians, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It qualifies an age there. It qualifies a time when you're living in your mother's household, mother and father's household, when they provide for you, that you are to obey them and follow their rules. But it also gives the phrase in the Lord. And this in no way negates any kind of abuse or any kind of things that are unhealthy and unholy, because it is children obey their parents in the Lord. And we're going to see in a moment God has an established order of authority there. So they transition from obeying their parents' orders to making their own decisions. However, this does not mean that we cease giving respect, honor, and weight to our parents even after they're deceased. They do this by listening to their advice, by willing to take care of them as they age. And this eradicates the prideful attitude that these old folks have no clue about life. All of us at a certain time in our life, no matter how old we are, have made statements like that. They don't have a clue. This eradicates that prideful attitude. And here's the reason why. Kids don't often make right choices. When you were a kid, did you make all the right choices? If there was all candy aisle before you, you'd make yourself sick if you could have all the candy that you want. That's why mom and dad says no to certain things. It is to protect you. And so as we work our way through, J.I. Packer puts it this way. The family is the basic spiritual unit in which God makes parents, their children's, pastors, and teachers. It is in the home that children are to learn to submit to authority. And if they do not learn it at home, and let me say clearly, if they are the ones that are running the show in your house, they will absolutely have problems submitting to authority figures outside of the home. Thus, we see what's happening in our society now. More importantly, if children do not learn to submit to their parents' authority, they will be severely hindered from learning to fear the Lord. Augustine asked, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? The problem is in our culture, and I know maybe most of you realize it, but the teaching that goes on in schools from the time we're in high school and the time we're in college, that has started in somewhere at some point in time, a brainwashing of our children, is like, we need to rise up against the establishment of the patriarchal and matriarchal society. Let's rebel against our parents. Let's remove all these things. And we have a guy by the name of Karl Marx who has introduced philosophy into this nation and into this land. But let me tell you a little about it. H.B. Charles, who's a pastor, talks about his history, and it's very interesting. When he was a young boy, his father was zealous in going to synagogue and demanded the same for his children. Their religion was the center of their family life. His family was forced to move to another town in Germany, and the new town was Lutheran and did not have a synagogue. So the father announced to the family that they would join the Lutheran church because it was necessary to help his business. That's the beginning of the birthplace of Karl Marx's ideas, that the family system is not necessary. What is important is money. And so in his bitterness, He wrote in his book that religion is the opiate of for the masses. And that could be explained in terms of economics. His name is Karl Marx. Millions of people would live under the system this bitter man invented. The influence of his father's hypocrisy is still being felt worldwide today. And here's what's happening in our country. It's cultural Marxism. They feed it to the classroom. I remember when we first transferred to the public school from the private school, my brother's first class in a young age, they said, here, draw a picture of yourself and put yourself in the center as being the most important person. That's called humanism. And that leads to the breakdown. And so if we destroy the family, we can destroy religion, we can destroy private property, we can destroy a nation and take over into communism. Socialism leads to communism. It starts with cultural Marxism. And I want to say, and I'm saying all this to say, not to be political, but to say we must preach what God's Word says about the family. We may not have to use these terms, but we can say, what does God's Word say? What is God's answer to a society that is filled with crime and violence, that celebrates and basically says that hate speech is speaking truth, but it's okay to burn buildings, it's okay to kill, it's okay to do all these other violent things, and that's not hate. Leviticus 29, and this is the seriousness of this. Now, thank God we live in the age of grace in the new covenant. This is how serious God treats this commandment about honoring our fathers and mothers. Leviticus 29 says, for anyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father, his mother, his blood is upon them. Aren't you glad we aren't living in Old Testament times? But God thinks this is so important. Honoring our fathers, no matter what age we are. But look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him with the death of stones. So you shall purge evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. There probably, during that time in the nation of Israel, were not very many drug addicts. But here's the thing. Is that the long-term solution? When Jesus Christ came and brought the cross and the power of grace, that is what transforms lives. Murdering somebody or stoning them to death doesn't fix their problems. But we could stand on truth in our culture and our society and stand strong. And we wondered, as we look at our society and culture today, I know all of us have dealt with what this passage talks about. He says, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive. If you don't see abuse happening in homes all across America and having it being swept under the rug, we're sticking our heads in the sand. If we don't see all across the, even in the churches today, that children are disobedient to their parents and they're allowed to continue to go on, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. But I want to have the candy. But at the heart of this rebellion, and it's not only children, it's the heart of rebellion of a sin nature that we all share in. And the solution is coming to Jesus Christ. And unless we repent and turn and give our lives to Him, there is no hope and no way out of this. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its powers, avoid such people. The Lord has gifted the church with family. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land and the Lord your God is giving you." In fact, Ephesians, when it talks about this, says this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. You see, the Lord has gifted us with a family, and what I was talking to you about before, in the Lord. And so that doesn't negate you being abused emotionally, psychologically, physically, in any way by your parents, and that you sweep that under the rug even later on in life. But it does mean that you honor the position that God has put them in as the parents. See, the family has an order of God's given authority. And the family has structure through God-given roles. The family is built upon sacrificial love and respect. It is rooted in the gospel. And so when we look at those words for father and mother in the Hebrew, the word father literally means chief, father of individual, God of the Father over his people, the originator or patron, a producer, and one who is benevolent and protective. So you see the role even in the names and the definition that the fathers are called to protect and guard their family. And then when you look at the word mother, it says the word mother as of the bond of the family. Don't you praise God for mothers who are like the glue that holds the family unit together? Father and mother being both equally needed in the home. Which is why we as the church in Jesus Christ can be a father or mother to somebody that doesn't have a father. Kind of like what our brother Gordon Chai, who's a I know he'll be a little shy about me saying this. His name is Gordon Chai. But he is an example of what the Bible talks about, an elder that is worthy of double honor. While people have written others off, he got involved in a family where the wife was being abused. He got involved when it was in the midst, in the thick of ugliness, where the kids were without a father that were abusive. And he taught a boy how to mow the lawn, and I think the young man and the young lady how to drive their cars so that we can all stay safe. Gordon sacrificed his life, his time, his money in a family, and that is what we are called to do as the body of Christ. And I love that example. I think about that example, and so thank you, Gordon, for allowing God to use you. And I know you would never stand up and brag about that or say that or talk about that, but it's an example for us to follow. What a gift to be involved in family. The Lord gifts us with family. And then the second thing I want to point out is the importance of fulfilling your role in the family. Each of us here has a role in the family of God. And so in the family, the father loves and sacrifices himself for the mother while the mother respects the father. So if we were to look in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, and we don't like this scripture because it's patriarchal and matriarchal and it's racist and misogynist and sexist and all these sorts of things that are being thrown to our kids' minds in the school system and in the university system. He clearly says in Ephesians, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ in the church. "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So you might be quick to say, men, well, you need to respect me. And women might be quick to say, you need to sacrifice your life for me. But it doesn't work unless both are going. And so we have this endless cycle that he reacts to the disrespect and doesn't show love. She reacts to not showing the love, and so she doesn't show respect. And so that takes your marriage in a cycle that goes down away from God's original design. Men, God has called you to sacrifice your lives, your egos, in sacrifice to benefit and serve your wife. And wives, God has called you to support and be a helpmate to your husband, to respect him. And I thank God for the many times when I'm ready to give up and Miss Tanya is there as a cheering on, or maybe sometimes a little poke or a kick in the behind, whatever it takes that day to be a helper so you can keep going. As a way of showing respect. And so in the family, the mother and father have authority over the children, and the children must obey their parents. And that's where we come to Ephesians, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. And then another, and then I want you to notice there, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. And then he mentions, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's a difference between emotional and physical abuse of our children, provoking them to anger, than discipline them or giving them what they need so that you can teach them to make it in life. Colossians 3 says, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Gone are the days of Archie Bunker where, go get me a drink of water, wife. Thank God for that. That is not what God is talking about there. He says, husbands, love your wife. Don't be harsh with them. They're not a slave. They're equals with you in this partnership to raise a family in God's kingdom. Fathers, do not provoke your children unless they become discouraged. Your words, fathers, matter. Do you realize, men, the weight of every word that you speak to your child? Think about that. You stupid kid, you're never going to amount to anything. What's that do to a child's heart? What would be quite different is to say, you did this, you were wrong, and as a result, here's the consequence, and this is why. This is going to help you out later in life. You can become the man or woman that you need to be, whether it's your son or daughter you're speaking to. And in the family, the mother and father provide and protect their children. So what it means to honor your father and mother, it means, and so as we look at the word there, honor, in the Hebrew, it means to give weight to. So it literally means to give weight to their position or God-given authority. It means to estimate them as valuable or rich in importance, to treasure or prize them. You say, well, how do I do that if I have a mother and father who's addicted, or a mother or father who has been abusive or dysfunctional? How do I do that? You don't have to be abused. You don't have to remain in that situation. You can put up boundaries. But what it does mean is to treasure them as the gift from God that God has put in your life, whether it's good or bad, to train you to lean to trust in Him. You remember the umbrella, God, Father, Mother? You can go beyond the Father and Mother to God, who's up at the top, and have a relationship with Him and still honor them and respect them and treasure them in spite of behavior that's dysfunctional. It means to refuse to treat them lightly or disregard or to be dismissive towards them. What they told me in university and public school and all these kinds of things is, mom and dad don't know anything. That's exactly what society wants you to do so that they can one day have more government control over your life and tell you what you need to do, where you can be led around like a hook in your nose. See, Hebrews 12 says, when we had earthly fathers who disciplined and we respected them. And that made me think, you know, when my parents disciplined me when I was a kid, I didn't think it was so good. And then suddenly, when I became, after a teenage age and got in college and after maybe a few years out in life, all of a sudden mom and dad got really wise so quick in those years. And then we understand and respect the discipline that we had received from them. And it's the same thing with God who disciplines us. It means as a child to obey them and respect them while you are dependent on them and living in their house. Now, for those of you that are young people, there's a few of you today, and I won't look your way just not to isolate you. So I'm just kidding. These are two wonderful young men, and that's a wonderful young lady right there sitting next to Jennifer. I always loved Jordan because since she was young, I called her a mini adult. I mean, she would have adult conversations with you when she was 2 or 3 years old. But it shows the wisdom in their respect and obedience and engagement with their parents. These are fine young people, and I celebrate that and love you guys for that. And it's going to go and serve you well in your life when you grow up. But right now, you don't pay rent. The clothes that you have on, you didn't pay for them. The food you're going to eat this afternoon, you didn't pay for it. The bed that you're going to go lie in, and all your favorite trinkets and things and social media things and whatever you have, you didn't buy those things. And if you did, it was the grace of your parents giving you an allowance for doing chores. He's like, yep, amen. Mm-hmm. I saved my money to get the things that I wanted when I was a teenager. As we were, my dad put us through Christian school and sacrificed a lot, and a lot of our clothes came from thrift stores and things. So I wanted to save to have a new shirt for once, to buy a new shirt. But in order to do that, I had to learn to be responsible, have a job, or do my chores at home, and then I could do that. It means as a child to obey them and respect them. It means as an adult to be willing to engage with them without disrespect or mockery. Have you ever mocked your parents? I'm not talking about just these young people here. I'm talking about all of you all. It's like, pfft. Well, there's an interesting scripture in the book of Proverbs here. It says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens in the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now, how strong of an example is it? Now, this is an example. Jesus uses things in the Bible. He's like, if your eye offends you, cut it off. He doesn't mean literally do that, but he's given the phrase for a strength for the word. And I spared you by not putting a picture of a raven picking an eyeball out this morning, but you can think about it on your own. When we mock our mother and father, and we see young people doing this all across America, this is the extremity of what it's like and how God views it. Now, I want to talk about the background of the word honor. In the ancient Near East, to be heavy was an evidence that a person was affluent and worthy of great attention, due respect, and special treatment. The idea does not register with most of us today, but in a land that's often visited with famine, drought, and pestilence, overweight people were treated like celebrities. And God uses this word to say that our parents are worthy of great attention, due respect, and special treatment. Your father and mother deserve a whole ton of respect. That doesn't mean call them fat, but they hold weight with you. And so if I was living in the Middle East, I would maybe have a little bit of a better status. But to my chagrin and unimportance, this makes me unhealthy. I was trying to reverse that. But you get the picture, the historical picture there. The more weight you have, the greater respect you get. God says in His words, honor or give weight to your parents. Now, this also means to take care of our parents when they age. And I've had a wonderful example in my own life. Maybe you have or maybe you haven't. But when your parents get old, this is a way to honor them, is to take care of them. In 1 Timothy 5, it says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. We are living in a throwaway culture. Mom and dad gets old and crusty. Let's throw them in some nursing home over here and hope they die quickly. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees on this issue. He said, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? He says, God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father must and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made the word of God void, the word of God. And so what were they were doing? They were saying, well, God, parents, you're getting old and you need to be taken care of. I will take all the money and I'm going to claim to offer it to God. Or I'm going to, I have money and I should be able to take care of you, but I gave it to God already. It's too late. I put it in the offering plate. So they use that as a way to get around taking care of their parents. Matthew Henry words it this way: endeavoring in everything to be the comfort of their parents, to make their old age easy on them, maintaining them if they stand in need of support, which our Savior must be particularly intended to his commandment. Those that support their parents shall find that God, the common Father, will support them. You see, barely half of Americans think that children have a responsibility to care for their elderly parents. It's a throwaway culture. Give them to the health system. Many children abandon their parents, or worse, try to help them die. This shows flagrant contempt for God's law. This is very serious when God says, honor your father and mother. And I commend you, those brothers and sisters, that where right now you're probably going through some time. Our brother shared in prayer of where you have to care for an aging parent. And there's all kinds of obstacles like distance and time and things like that. But I can already tell this brother's heart is to honor his father. He wants to see him come to Christ. He wants to see him saved and come in the kingdom of God. And you say, well, what do we do when we see someone in our church that's suffering in old age and their kids are nowhere to be found? That's when God calls us in Jesus Christ to sacrifice our lives to be the children to those parents and to love them and take care of them. You see, this means honoring them when we're a child by following their rules. It's honoring them as adult by loving and spending time with them. And while we still have proper boundaries in place, if there's toxicity there, honoring them even after they die by refusing to talk critically and negatively about them, we can still speak truth in a way that does not disparage or disrespect a person's dignity as made in the image of God. And so this does not mean, for example, to hide the truth by sweeping abuse under the rug. Well, mom and dad abused me when I was a child, so I'm just going to skip talking about that. No, you have to face those things and deal with those things and bring them out in the light. But when someone passes, it doesn't give us permission to have a heyday and, well, the old man is in the ground now, right? Praise God. Her mother died. Ding dong, the witch is dead. We still honor our parents even in their death. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And I will say too, you will face feelings. You know, I remember when my grandmother, who is the a very important person to me, I'll just say, in my spiritual life, in my life, when she was dealing with Parkinson's and coming to the end, my parents took care of her. And when they couldn't physically do it, they searched and researched to find a place where that she could be taken care of. But part of me was struggling because I want Grandma to be here. But it's so hard to go and visit her. It's so hard to see her in this position. It's so difficult to deal with it. And then you start to say, God, would you please take her home? So there's that battle that you're going to face in your mind, and don't feel like you're the only one that deals with those issues. Because your parents, God has given you as a gift, them to you as a gift to honor them and to bless them. And when we especially deal with old age and dementia and mental things, that can be so sad. But yet, through the grace we draw in Jesus Christ, we continue to minister to our parents in the best way that we know how. Not to write them off, not to give them to someone else to take care of, not wish that the other sibling will do it, but to do it on our own. That's honoring our father and mother and taking care of them as they age. And then last of all, as we come today, we have the promise of honoring the father and mother. And you might say, well, what if somebody honors their father and mother and they die in a car accident when they're 30 years old? What does that mean? What does that have to do? When you break down the words there, he says, he uses the word day there, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord has given you. That is an unused root meaning to be as in the heat of the day, which is the productive time of the day when you get your work done. Unless you work night shift, you go to bed at night and you aren't productive. And so what he's saying there is that your days may be long or lengthened or drawn out. What he's saying there is it is a productive, blessed, fruitful life. The phrase in Hebrew culture, to live long in the land, is a Hebrew expression that means for the fullness of God's blessing. That is the promise. If we honor our parents, the position that they have as father and mother, even though all the negative things or the bad things that we might look and view and we might feel sad about and we might feel traumatized or hurt about, know this, that it is a promise from God Himself that you will live your life productively and blessed by choosing to honor your father and mother. And you know, it says that your day will be long in the land that I'm going to give you. And for the Israelite coming out of Egypt, God was giving them their own property and their own land. It is the ability to be a good steward of God's gifts. It is the privilege of learning about the Lord. And a father and mother's key responsibility is to raise their children in the Lord. And then we talk in the general sense, longer life on the earth. I want to point out, and Proverbs talks about this in different ways, but disrespect, bitterness, and unforgiven rots our insides, and that results and always results in adding extra health problems, which most certainly leads us to an early death. And so I think there is some, definitely the emphasis on for the fullness of God's blessing, but there is also some truth in the longevity of our life. If we're seething in anger and unforgiveness, disrespect towards authority, which, by the way, mother and father is the foundation of authority, but when God gives His commandments, He's talking about the whole broad perspective of government authorities and officials and things like that, that we show respect through to in that same way. Remember, it says in Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. In a world where we struggle, it's always good for things to go well with us, right? In the book of 2 Samuel 18, you have David himself, King David, who dealt with a son by the name of Absalom. And how would you feel if that son, you were reigning as king, and that son was trying to come up with a coup to get rid of David, knock him off his throne, and then in the midst of doing that, without David's actions, he gets killed? You think, well, David would be like, whew. But because David had a heart of a father, Do you know what he did? He went in his room and he wept and said, "Absalom, my son, my son." And that is the power of what God the Father has for us as his children. He says, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so, if you've dishonored your parents, this is the power and the love of the kind of father that he has. Or if you have trouble with kids that have rebelled and that have turned and gone in the wrong direction, that's where you say, "But God showed his love towards me while I was a sinner. And I can draw upon that love to be a father, to be a mother when it hurts." And if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today, to repent, to turn away, and receive this gift of love. And what about me? Or what about, you might say, "Well, what about when my mother and father have abandoned me?" Some of you might have faced that situation in your life. Psalms 27:10 says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Is what our sister shared this morning about inheritance. Because in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time has come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption. So if you're here today and this message triggered you because your parents were absent, or one or both, know this: the gospel has come and the Lord will take you in. And when he takes you in his family, he's given you a father, a mother, a brother, and a sisters all around you that care about you. And we cry, "Abba, Father," together to our great Lord and Savior. So the Lord has gifted us with family. He's given us each a role. And he commands us to give weight or to prize our mothers and fathers. The Lord promises the fullness of his blessing to those who honor the fathers and mothers. I would like to invite the worship team to come as we pray and come before the Lord this morning. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its clarity and clearness, that we don't have to wonder about these things. And Lord, we come before you, first of all, thanking you that you've offered us family when our earthly families have let us down. And you're able to teach us forgiveness and healing and restoration, to honor our parents, but knowing that we're covered fully by you. And Lord, we come today, and like me, I think all of us share in this. At one time or another, we've mocked our parents, we've dishonored them. We were selfish. Forgive us, God. Come and wash us clean. And Lord, it's my prayer for myself and every brother and sister in this room, that you'd raise up people that honor their father and mother so much that it translates into all society and everything that we speak and what we pour into our children. And Father, I pray that you would be with every father and mother in this room that are under the grave responsibility of raising children in the Lord. That you'd give them the grace to say no when they need to say no, to love in a way that protects them and prepares them for the future. And God, those moments when they don't know, what do I do with this situation? How do I discipline my son or my daughter? That you give them wisdom, God. And that they dive headfirst into their adoption in the fatherhood of God, and from that draw the wisdom to raise their children. Father, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.